From the Southeast Asian capital city of the Philippine Islands, the Philippine nation, 7,107 pearl-like islands nestled in the Pacific, Manila, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Art Bell, and of course, this is the largest program of its kind in the world. It's called Coast to Coast AM. It is my honor, my privilege to be escorting you through the weekend. Now, once again, this evening I've yet posted another picture of Aaron and myself in Hong Kong. That's in Hong Kong. The photograph yesterday was taken up on Victoria Peak in Hong Kong on a pretty good day, actually. Somebody said, well, kind of misty. Yes, but for Victoria Peak, that was actually a pretty good day, day after rain in Hong Kong, and a couple of weeks ago. So that picture is about 2 weeks old. Now, I would like, once again, if I could, to call attention to this horrid little letter, this hoax letter that was actually done many years ago by somebody who wrote it at the University of San Diego campus and went to the library there and sent it out in my name, degrading the Filipino people. And that was many years ago. Now, of course, that I've moved to the Philippines, somebody's taken it on themselves to recirculate this letter. Not that it ever really stopped circulating. I've been answering those for, actually years now, to be honest with you, years. But now they're recirculating it, which is something of a bit of a dangerous situation for me here. I'm getting death threats and that sort of thing. And here they actually do dispose of journalists on a somewhat regular basis. So while actually keeping a very low profile here in the Philippines, I certainly don't need that letter going around. So we've got a little link on top of the website or near the top of the website that covers the specifics of the letter. An awful, hateful letter written against the Philippine people. And I guess that was done because at the time I was married to Ramona, as you know, and she was half Filipino. And so I guess they decided it would be a good thing to do, or it was coincidental. But I think not. At any rate, if you would be so kind as to read the specifics, if you get an opportunity, and pass it along to your friends, that it certainly was not me that wrote that, I would be very appreciative, just for the safety of myself and my wife. Now, let's take a look at the world news. Never all that pleasant. A woman accused of killing a pregnant woman and her fetus told police that she drowned the woman's three young children, stuffed them into a washer and dryer at their apartment. Preliminary autopsies on the dead children Sunday appear to show they were indeed drowned. That was hard, a deputy St. Clair coroner told the Associated Press. God, that's just awful. Is there no depth to which people will plunge? No end to it. Democrats on Sunday seized on an intelligence assessment that said that the Iraq war actually has increased the terrorist threat, saying that it was further evidence that Americans should choose new leadership in the November elections. The Democrats hoped the report would undermine the GOP's image as the party more capable of handling terrorism as the campaign enters its final six-week stretch. And then there was quite a Fox incident, I guess. In a combative interview on Fox News Sunday, former President Clinton actively defended his handling of the threat posed by Osama bin Laden. A lot has been said about that. He said he tried to have bin Laden killed and was attacked for his efforts by the very same people who now criticize him for not doing enough. That's the difference in me and some, including all of the right-wingers who are attacking me now, Clinton said in the interview. They ridiculed me for trying. They had 8 months to try. They did not try. Iraq's feuding ethnic and sectarian groups agreed on Sunday to consider amending the Constitution and begin debating legislation to create a federated nation. Wow. While the Shiite prime minister appealed for an end to violence during Ramadan, despite the plea for peace, violence killed at least 20 Iraqis, wounded 37 a day before the official start of the Muslim holy month. So, that would seem to me to be sort of caving in to the notion of civil war, or the possibility of civil war, when you talk about autonomous regions being governed within what was one country. You're sort of caving into the possibility of civil war, trying to prevent it, I suppose. Anybody who believes that Nancy Grace was chastened in some manner by the suicide of a young mother following their tough television encounter doesn't know much about Nancy Grace, I guess. The primetime prosecutor continues to focus nearly full time on Melinda Duckett, piling up evidence to point to the Florida woman's guilt in the disappearance of her 2-year-old son, Trenton, with all the support of her bosses at CNN Headline News. Tampa Bay's quarterback, Chris Sims, has had his spleen removed. My goodness, spleen. After taking several hard hits on Sunday's 26-24 loss to the Carolina Panthers. See, I just ruined the game for myself. And was resting comfortably in a hospital. Chris is doing well, and we anticipate a full recovery, said the team physician in a brief statement. So, if you're an NFL quarterback, look out. It can cost you your spleen. Oh, by the way, in a moment, by popular demand, I didn't get an opportunity to play it until the very last hour of the program last night. And there is this very, very, very funny little ditty called Tequila. And so I know a lot of you didn't get an opportunity to hear it. And I got about a million emails asking me to repeat it. So when we get back from break in a moment, I shall do so. We will indeed be doing open lines here shortly, so anybody who already knows the phone numbers, and I'm sure many of you have them written down and or memorized after all of these years, you're welcome to begin calling and we'll line you up. A woman called the Emergency Poison Center very upset because she caught her little daughter eating ants. She was quickly reassured ants are not harmful. No need to bring her daughter to the hospital. She calmed down. And then, sort of as a little addendum at the very end of the conversation, happened to mention that she'd given her daughter some ant poison. Ant poison to eat in order to kill the ants. She said they told her to get her daughter into the hospital right away. And this true story out of San Francisco, a man wanting to rob a bank, a downtown Bank of America, walked into the branch and wrote, "This is a stick-up." All small, no capitals. This is, I-Z, a stick-up. S-T-I-K-K-U-P, stick-up. Put all your money, M-U-N-Y, in this bag. There he was, standing in line, waiting to give his note to the teller. He began to worry that somebody might have seen him write the note, might call the police before he could get to the teller's window. So he walked out of the Bank of America, crossed the street to Wells Fargo. After waiting a few minutes in line, handed the same note to the Wells Fargo teller. She read it, surmising from the spelling that, well, he just wasn't the brightest bulb in the harbor. Told him she couldn't accept a stick-up note because it was written on a Bank of America deposit slip, and that he'd either have to go fill out a Wells Fargo deposit slip or go back to the Bank of America looking somewhat defeated. The man said okay and just simply left. Now, this is an interesting story. I really think it is. It relates to what we've been talking about when we talk about shadow people or shadow beings. You're walking down an empty street alone. Suddenly, you have the eerie feeling that someone's following you. Is it your mind playing tricks on you? Well, perhaps so. According to a new study, when a specific region of the brain called the left temporal junction, TPJ, is stimulated in some way, it can create an illusion of a shadow person. Given that such experiences are often heightened in psychotic disorders like schizophrenia and paranoia, and even in those who believe that they've been abducted by aliens, the results could lead to a better understanding of these neurological conditions. The finding emerged totally by accident. Neurologist Ulf Blank of the Brain Mind Institute in Luzern, Switzerland, and his colleagues were attempting to identify the source of epileptic seizures in a 23-year-old woman. They applied a mild current through surgically implanted electrodes to various regions of the brain. Not much happened until the researchers stimulated the woman's left TPJ, located roughly above the left ear. Suddenly, she reported feeling the presence of a mystery person behind her, a motionless, speechless shadow that imitated her body postures and action. He, that's in quotes, lay beneath her when she lay down, sat beside her when she sat down, and attempted to take a test card from her when she tried to participate in a language exercise. Such delusions are very similar to those seen in patients with schizophrenia. Schizophrenics often mistake their own bodies to be someone else's, for example, and attribute their own actions to others. So they also have frequent illusions of being followed or controlled by a stranger, as do those who claim to have been manipulated, of course, by aliens. Speaking of which, the theory of extraterrestrial origin of life is not a well-defined single theory. It is more of an adjunct or an extension of the belief that since random, unguided biological evolution on Earth is a fact, certainly the same forces would have resulted in life in other places in the universe. Extraterrestrial life is never associated with the possibility that life perhaps could have been created elsewhere if it could be created here on Earth. If it could be verified that life existed elsewhere in the universe, it would be presented as proof of biological evolution. The argument could not be farther from the truth. Although it is true that if life could evolve on Earth, it certainly could evolve in other places if the conditions were correct. However, it is equally true that if life could be created on Earth, it could be created elsewhere also. In fact, if the creative force was powerful enough to produce life, it would be powerful enough to create the proper environment in which to place the created life. The theory of the origin of extraterrestrial life only moves the evolution creation debate to a remote location. Now, I think most of you are familiar, aren't you, with cosmic ray bursts? They've been a fairly recent discovery in the galaxy. However, there was one so severe back on February 18th that had it occurred anywhere near our galaxy, all life on Earth would have ended last February 18th. I don't know if you knew that or not. I recall at the time I did report on that, but there it is in black and white. NASA's Compton Gamma Ray Observatory says, had the star that produced this been anywhere near us, all life on Earth on February 18th would have ended. But of course, it did not. That doesn't mean that it could not happen. The Chinese people, leave it to the Chinese, have decided that it is better to let a computer decide if a criminal should be executed or not. The new software, patched into a legal database, is being used by judges on 100 different crimes, including robbery, rape, by tapping into details of the crime and, if there are any mitigating circumstances, the penalty calculator provides a recommended sentence, including those punishable by death. The software was designed as a method of dealing with corrupt judges and has been trailed in 1,500 cases now, and it looks like it will be used in courts all across the Chinese landscape. Software designer Quinn Ye has been working on the program since 2003 and, helped by Shandong legal officials, has loaded it with a huge database of Chinese law and case precedents. On the plus side, it certainly will ensure standardized decisions on prison terms and avoid abuse of the discretionary power of judges as a result of, corruption or perhaps insufficient legal training. On the downside, the judges will not have to pay so much attention in drawn-out trials. If the software is ever hacked, then it might, for example, be possible for a murderer to get a very light sentence or a person who wears a loud shirt in a built-up area to be sentenced to death by firing squad. China has the death penalty for 68 offenses, you might like to know, including bigamy, stealing petrol, gasoline. Wow. tax evasion and computer hacking. A death sentence for all of that. Can you believe it? Stealing gas? Stealing gas? They really do prize their gas in China, don't they? All right, let's take a few calls, see what awaits. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Yes.
This is Chris from Sonoma.
Yes, Chris.
I called you last Sunday about the Kundalini.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you if you would like a repeat of the experience that you had in Paris.
No.
Okay.
No, I mean, I'm giving you an honest answer. It was a wonderful experience, but I've had the opportunity, Chris, to repeat the experience because I've had this the beginning of what is an out of body experience. You know, the being paralyzed, feeling the buzzing, this intense feeling, and I've always bailed out, Chris, at the last moment and stopped it from happening.
I understand that. There's nothing wrong with being patient, taking your time with this.
I chickened out, buddy.
I'd like to also address some of the concerns that people out there who have Kundalini coming up. As it comes up the spine, it will expand the kidneys, and it will also affect the adrenal glands. This will hyper-stimulate the adrenal glands, and it will put out a hormone that makes a person become very excited and delusional, kind of like someone who's on methamphetamine.
Yes.
And I want them to, once again, keep the tongue to the roof of the mouth behind the upper front teeth.
That was for the connection, right?
Yeah, drink lots of water and eat a lot of watermelon. This has a very calming effect on the kidneys. So do those things. Keep your four fingertips and your thumb tips together. And, don't go to the doctor and get put on Depakote. That is not what you want to do.
All right, Chris. Thank you. We appreciate the instructional call. And for those, and what can I say, Chris, have a good trip. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, is that me?
That's you.
Hey, Art. Finally got through. I wanted to tell you about a new potential source of energy, or an energy production source, whatever, that could not only get us away from oil, but also help clear up our radioactive wastes.
And what might that be?
Well, it's called a beta photovoltaic battery, and you can Google it, and there's, I think it was originally developed back in the mid-80s, but they're actually starting to use it commercially, or develop it commercially for pacemakers and remote electronics, that sort of thing.
Say it again.
At beta photovoltaic.
Okay.
Like, beta emissions and then volt,
right.
AIC.
Right.
And it works kind of on the same principle as a solar cell. And you can actually take solar cells and paint radioactive isotopes on it, and then they'll produce electricity. But
all right. Well, listen, we're breaking the hour here, so I've got to scoot, but I definitely will Google it and see what's up. We will continue with open lines following a brief break. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm Art Bell. Indeed, I am. John Klimo, I guess it's Klimo, at the top of the hour. And he's going to be talking about a subject that I'm very, very, very interested in. It's what happens to you when you commit suicide. However, he is a channeler. Now, over the years, those of you who have listened to me for years know I'm very skeptical of channelers, not because I don't believe that channeling is possible, because certainly as any other, unusual thing is possible, channeling is possible. The problem I've always had with channeling is that it's also something that can be faked. I mean, I could give you a pretty good example of channeling, I was Art Bell, now I'm three lifetimes ago, Art Bell. My name is Harry, and I want to tell you what's going on with the world. That kind of deal. I mean, it could happen, right? It could be faked. So I've always had a little problem with channelers, not because I think channeling is not real, just because I think there's a big potential for faking it. Anyway, we'll discuss that. And then certainly suicide with John Klimo. It's going to be a very interesting program, no doubt about it. That'll be coming up next hour. In a moment, we continue with Open Lines. Were it not for love, what reason would there be to even exist? Have you ever wondered about that? Love really is, well, other than ham radio. I mean, otherwise, what reason would there really be to exist in this world were it not for love? Let's go to our first-time caller line, and I think it's Daryl in North Dakota. Hello there.
Hello, Mr. Bell.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I'd just like to... thank you for indirectly keeping me alive. Listening to your show has made a lot of miles disappear very quickly through the night. And I consider this an honor to talk to you, and I just want to let you know that I'm gonna pray for you for the situation you're in. And like my mom always told me, this too shall pass. Doesn't matter how bad something gets, it will always get better. Mr. Bell.
All prayers gratefully accepted, my friend, and thank you for the comment on getting across the country. I used to use talk radio the same way. I mean, you can only stand music so long. If you're driving from coast to coast, music is good for a while, and then it'll just give you a headache. Whereas talk radio is the unwinding of a story. And boy, I'll tell you what, that will put the miles behind you. I mean, the time just disappears because your brain is involved in actively thinking about something instead of just, you know, tapping out a beat on the floor. That only lasts so long. So talk radio will indeed get you from one side of the country to the other quite safely. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, this is Eric out of San Diego. How's it going?
Pretty good, Eric.
Yeah, I have a event that happened to me about 2 years ago with missing time.
Mm-hmm.
And how it goes is that I'm a graveyard security guard, and at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I finish my book, so I go to my car to look for a new one. I switch on the dome light, and then all of a sudden the light goes out. So I figured, okay, you know, the bulb just went out. Then I go back to my shack, and everything electrical is dead. And then I figured, okay, the fuse blown, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm sitting there reading my book, and then about an hour later, my supervisor comes up and says, "Where you been?" I'm like, "I've been here." He's like, "Bull, I've been trying to get hold of you over the next door for an hour."
So you had 1 full hour disappear, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was just in my car, and then all of a sudden, everything went dead.
Well, security guards have always been grist for the monster mill, and I suppose aliens can snap them up with impunity as well. So I don't know what to tell you. What do you think might have happened to you during that hour?
I don't know. My supervisor came up, and he looked around, never saw me. And then left again, still trying to get hold of me through my next cell.
Did you keep your job?
Actually, no.
No, you got fired.
Yes.
That's sad.
After a little investigation, because what I do is I log down inbound trucks that come into my site, and they ask, and during that time frame, they asked these truckers if they saw me, and they said no.
Well, are you sure that you might not have fallen asleep in your car?
Impossible, because I had just finished drinking an energy drink.
Uh-huh.
So that's...
Well, yes, but you probably drank the energy drink because you were feeling drained and tired, right?
I mean, that's possible, but I wasn't feeling tired at all. I just went into my car to grab a new book, and then everything died.
Has any part of your body begun to glow recently in a weird way or anything else?
No, I mean, nothing has, I mean, with me physically, nothing wrong, but I have been starting to hear things.
What kind of things?
Strange noises in the night, but that's with all graveyard security guards, so...
Mm-hmm. I hope you find another job, or perhaps you already have.
Well, I do. I got hooked up with a different company.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay awake, buddy.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, see you later. I don't know. You know, could have been that. But it's a hell of an excuse, right? Where were you when you're supposed to be counting trucks? Well, I was abducted by aliens. I have missing time, boss. You see this mark on my arm? I guess he didn't even really have that. West of the Rockies, you are on the air. Hello.
Hello, this is Mike from Victorville.
Yes.
And I had a question for those Swedish scientists that stimulated part of that lady's brain. How come they didn't even consider the option of maybe she was actually seeing shadow people?
Well, I don't know. The Swedish scientist is not here. He's only on paper. That was a story I read, sir.
I do have some comments about shadow people.
Yes.
I've been bothered by them all my life, and you guys have put the name to them. But I just knew them as the powers that run men's lives. And lately I found out that they exist. They're inorganic beings who feed off our emotions. And, you know, this is what everybody, why they're close to people. They're actually like huge lumps, very heavy. Carlos Castaneda mentions them in his books.
And, are you sure it's not the TPJ part of your brain over there on the left part of, you know, left side?
I'm not too intuitive that way. You know, I've never seen one, but I feel them, you know, and get the wake up with sleep paralysis. And it's just they're inorganic beings, and they feed off our emotions. And they're...
Well, that may be, Mike. It may be. I have no way of knowing. This is just sort of a stab in the dark, if you will. Cute, huh? Shadow people, stab in the dark. Anyway, it's a stab in the dark, and just because science is able to recreate the feeling or the sensation of being followed or somebody there with you or somebody moving with you does not mean that it's not real. It just means they can recreate that feeling. As, for example, science has been able to duplicate with... electrode implants in the brain, the emotions and feelings that one has during an NDE as well. Doesn't mean that NDEs are not real. It just means that scientists have found a region of the brain where they can seem to activate that sort of thing. A wild card line, you're on the air. Hello.
Mr. Bell, how are you, my friend?
I am quite well. And yourself?
Oh, I'm happy as I can be. Just checking out Orion tonight with my telescope. But this is truly an honor to speak with you, my friend. I've wanted to speak with you forever, but anyway, I'll get right to the point. The weather in the Midwest, in this part, I live near Chicago. My family's lived here for over 150 years, and I've got detailed records that go back forever for almanacs. We've had more rain this September than ever in history, and the last winter, the last summer, everything's changing. Your perspective, what do you think is going on? Yeah, I know you made the movie and you helped put your input in there, but what is your gut feeling on what's going to happen the next year, please?
In the next year?
Yeah.
The next year. I think that in the next year, as in every successive year now for a long time, you're going to see a worsening of the weather. And I think that what's happening is that our climate is warming up, our planet is warming up. And heat is the engine that drives storms, whether it would be rainstorms or hurricanes or tornadoes or other violent weather. Heat is the devil behind all of it. So what do I think is going to happen? I think we're going to have an escalating, continuing violent season after season, after season, after season, and it's going to be increasing very quickly. Now, how quickly and whether there's a tipping point and a trigger where it's really going to get bad, I don't have the answer to that. There are a number of scientists who figure there is a trigger, a tipping point, a trigger point, when all of a sudden it could get much worse, as in global superstorm, that sort of thing. But But that's what I think. I think it's obviously warming up, no question about that, and that will contribute to more violence above us. Let's go to the, let's see, first-time caller line. You are on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing tonight?
Very well, sir.
Whatever time it is in Manila, that is.
It is currently about 10 of 2 in the afternoon, buddy.
Oh, okay.
I might add, on Monday.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm a listener of yours. I got turned on to you back when I was stationed at Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And we all used to work the night shift there, and we would listen to you every night. And there was a couple of shows, or it was one show, I don't recall, that stuck in my head. And I deployed to Saudi Arabia, I believe, shortly after it. And I never got to hear how it turned out. And so it's been killing me all these years. There was a gentleman who was supposedly flying his private aircraft over Area 51. Mm-hmm. And he called your show to say, hey, you know, I'm tired of this secrecy. I'm going in and we're going to find out what's here.
That's
and
it.
I never found out. What happened? Was this just a hoax, or did we just never hear from this
guy? No, I would have no way of saying it was a hoax. It could have been a hoax, but if so, it was a damn well done hoax. And the last we heard, he had been shot down. I mean, he was going down in flames, last we heard him. And no kidding. I guess you didn't get to hear the end of it. Yeah, he was going down in flames. I mean, that lasted a long time. I tried to dissuade him from flying into an area where I knew damn well he'd get shot down.
I seem to remember hearing something about being intercepted by fighters and seeing something coming up out of the ground.
Rail gun, actually.
Yeah, right.
That's right. No, he was going down in more or less in flames when we last heard from him, and we've not heard anything since. So you can either chalk it up as a hoax or imagine him in pieces on the desert floor.
I guess we'll never really know then, will we?
No, we'll not.
Well, it was a pleasure to actually talk to you, Art. I'm a big fan of yours, and George does a wonderful job as too, but there's only one Art Bell, so thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much for making it. And indeed, he does do a wonderful job of keeping it going during the week, and that is the great majority of the show. I can tell you, having done it for years and years and decades, actually, 5 nights a week. Actually, earlier than that, 6 nights a week. I used to originally do the show 5 hours a night, 6 nights a week. So I can tell you that it's quite a job. Of course, it's a blast. It's a lot of fun. There's nothing in the world like radio. Nothing in the world like radio. Wildcard line, you are on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Jesse. Big Texas howdy. I'm calling from the extreme southeast corner of Texas.
Yes, sir.
Emailed y'all a picture the other day of a 45-foot sea creature that I had a close encounter with, and y'all put it up on your website. And I just wanted to call up and tell you that and maybe tell you about another experience I had a few years ago.
I didn't see the 45-foot sea creature, unfortunately. What was the encounter? I mean, that's big.
Well, we was out in a small aluminum boat fishing in the middle of the night. There's a different type of fish you catch at night, and that's what we prefer. Well, we got out to the mouth of the river where it dumps into the Gulf of Mexico, and it's a ship lane. Well, it's real deep water and all kind of fish. Well, our motor quit. And the tide was going out. So in order for us to make it back in, we had to wait until the tide changed and would drag us back up to shore. Well, so we sat there and fished for 3 or 4 hours until the sun come up. We could flag someone to maybe give us a tow into the shore, to the boat ramp.
Right.
Well, we kept hearing this noise, sounded like a large fish turning over, you know, hitting the top of the water and splashing. And the sun came up, and we heard the noise again, and we looked over, and my goodness, there was the I don't know what it was. It was about, like I say, I took a picture of it, and it's on your website, and I can only describe it as an eel-like creature. It didn't appear.
Is it still on the website right now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me take a look.
And you can see its head sticking out. It's apparent. It's belly up. It's playing, and it's got its belly up, and you can see the end of its tail sticking out a ways. There was no fins that I could make out, so apparently it was just a eel-like creature.
But 45 feet long?
You got the picture there.
Okay, now wait a minute. Where on the website is it? I'm looking.
I'm not sure. I just pulled up your website earlier, and the picture was there. It's kind of a picture of open water, and there's an arrow.
Okay, I've got it.
Yeah.
Now I've enlarged the picture. Let me see if I can. Okay, well, it's just sort of a black thing sticking out of the water from
right.
Can
you
what
see
I can
tail
see.
Tail way to the right.
Oh my God, I do.
There you go.
That is, that is, that's really big.
That's really big, and you can take that from a Texas fisherman. I know what big is.
Yeah, that's big. All right. Good Lord. Okay. I appreciate the story, certainly, to go along with it.
Well, I have another story, if I could, more on a ghost type thing.
Very quickly.
Okay. We was fishing down at the river bottoms one time, and we had parked our truck about 25 or 30 feet away from the water line, and we had set our poles down next to the water line, and we had attached a little bell to the end so that if a fish bit on it, it would jingle, and we'd run out there and you know,
of course,
pull it in. Well, we were, me and a friend of mine was sitting in the truck, and along about, I'd say probably 10 to 12, there had to be an Indians, and these were ghosts, come walking down the river bank and walked right between us and our fishing poles. And they was definitely Native Americans, and they had, and they weren't tangible. I mean, you could tell, you could almost see through them, but you could see that they had the clothes on them, and a couple of them had there was no horses, but a couple of them was carrying, looked like children on their back, and one or two.
All right, I've got about 20 seconds here.
Okay, one or two of them was pulling a load with on sticks. And after they passed, we got out and looked, and there was no tracks or anything. But, boy, we got our stuff up, and we got out of there.
All right, buddy. Thank you for the call. You obviously had an encounter with something. And on that note, we'll take a break. And, boy, when we get back, I'm Art Bell.